A Napa guy knows not to judge a man by his car's multicolor paint job or absence of modern gadgetry. Who cares if it's technically old enough to vote and the windows are powered by the strength of your left arm? Your monthly payment is zero, and it'll stay that way. Because with over 400,000 parts and a little Napa know-how, you can keep anything on the road. She may not be pretty, but she's all yours. That's Napa know-how.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. It's the Recruiting Animal back with you today. And, you know, there have been some big changes here at blogtalkradio.com. That's the platform I use, and I'm not sure that I'm going to be able to figure out how to use this program, and I don't really see the host having logged in yet. So let's just proceed and see what happens. The guest today is Donato Diorio. I keep getting that wrong. Sorry, Donnie. Anyway, he's the CEO of Broadlook Technologies. He's the guest, and just before the show started, I got an email about him that said, tell Donnie that the Broadlook users, sorry, this is an error here. I'm really fumbling today. Sorry, kids. Anyway, tell Donnie that Broadlook users, Broadlook experts, actually, will be listening, so he better not give politician-style answers. I did get that part right. Politician-style answers. Now, that was an interesting message for me because I was just thinking about the duplicity of politicians, and here's why. We are in the middle of an election campaign in the province of Ontario right now. Toronto is a city in the province of Ontario in Canada, and one party in our province wants to give full government funding to religious schools. Now, this isn't a religious topic I'm talking about. It's a management issue. So this is obviously going to pull a lot of kids out of the public school system and separate them based on their religion. Good or bad, it's just very obviously divisive. It'll separate the people in the larger community. What else could it be, right? But these guys have the nerve to bill it as inclusive. Now, I know that inclusive is a holy word right now, and with very good reason. But to me, this attempt to confuse the public with buzzwords is low, low, low. And that's just what a lot of business people do, too. Today, we've got holistic accounting firms. I guess that means the auditor analyzes your personality as well as your inventory, eh? And every candidate on every resume is effective and efficient and results-oriented. But I got to tell you, holy or not, after a while, these words are just going to be seen for what they are, gibberish. Hack words used by con artists to cover up the simple truth, and they should be avoided by all decent people, politicians, business people, anybody. And I'm not finished with this topic yet. Last night, just as I was getting ready to go to bed, I got a phone call. Is this a recruiting animal, the guy said. I said, yes, of course it is. Well, he said, this is the work farce, back from the dead. And he said, I have a question for you. What happened? Your blog stinks. Your radio show stinks. Where's the old spirit? He said, the entire recruitosphere sucks, totally. Listen, he said, I want you to know I'm back, and from now on, you can consider yourself a target. And then he hung up. Well, let me ask you this. Wouldn't it be great if you actually got calls like that every once in a while? It would breathe a little fire into your life. But I'm sorry to disappoint you. The work farce might be a terror in print, but when you get him on the phone, he's really just another friendly guy. It's sad, but it's the truth. But he does have a point. What we need in the recruitosphere are more straight shooters. More angry people who don't pull their punches. And I believe that our guest today is one of those people. He's a businessman who wants to market his product, but he's also a bold man and an extroverted man who will not try to duck your questions. Yes, I'm talking about Donnie Diorio, the CEO of Broadlook.com. They produce a software tool that slurps up information from websites and dumps it into formats that make it easy for recruiters to use. And I urge anyone who has an interest in internet sourcing to call in and talk to Donnie today. As I said last week here on the Recruiting Animal Show, no question is too dumb. No question is too stupid. I don't care who you are. Feel free to call in. So live from Toronto, I'm the Recruiting Animal, and you are listening to the most diverse, inclusive, effective, efficient, that's right, radio program in the world. Actually, it's not the most efficient radio program. It's the most efficient recruiting radio call-in show in the world today. And I am, I already told you who I was, but I didn't tell you the name of the show. The Recruiting Animal Show. Let's go and see if we have some music.
The werewolf is neither man nor wolf, but a satanic creature with the worst qualities of both.
And do you expect me to believe that a man so afflicted actually becomes a wolf under the influence of the full moon? I'm afraid, sir, that I gave up my belief in goblins, witches, personal devils, and werewolves at the age of 6.
Personal devils and werewolves. Donnie DiOrio, are you there? He's not there.
Oh!
Is that you?
No, it's me. It's Harry.
It's Harry. Okay, you don't have to pretend you're him.
No, I can't. Who can pretend that he's Donnie DiOrio?
I don't know. I sent him 2 messages this morning.
So there's just like 5 of us on the couch and Donnie's a no-show?
Hey, looks like it.
Somebody better call Donnie.
Maureen is there, right?
I'm here. Somebody should call Donnie.
Harry's there?
Gosh, what a build-up, too. That was like your best intro ever.
Oh, you know what? Is he on our time zone?
Hey, animal.
No, he's in Milwaukee. Who else is that saying hi?
Me, Jason.
Okay, JD, Dave Manister. Dave Manister, can you call Donnie DiOrio? Go to broadlook.com. Somebody do me a favor. Go to broadlook.com.
No, I got his cell phone number. Should I tell everybody what that is?
I'll bet he's on Central Time thinking that he's an hour behind us.
All right, here I go.
Sharp guy. This is a sharp guy.
All right, hold on just 1 second. Okay. Let me look it up in my high-tech Franklin planner.
But you know what? I can proceed anyway. There's a certain amount of chit-chat that I do. Doesn't
Michael, did you pull your shades after Workforce called you?
What'd you say? Pull
did
my
you pull
shade.
Your shades after Workforce
yeah, because you're a target.
I'm a target. You know what? Where's he? He's in Indiana or something like that. If I go to a conference, I'll watch out. But otherwise, no way. Let's see what he does. Okay, so you know what? I'm going to ask Donnie some of these questions, even though he's not here. Maureen, you want to answer for him?
Yeah, you can. I just got a cell phone number, so I'm going to dial him up, and you won't be able to hear his side of the conversation, but you'll hear mine.
Okay.
All right, hold on.
Michael, you should add offensive to that string of descriptives that you used about the show.
Okay, sure.
Offensive, because you want—that's what you want to be, isn't it?
But I'm not.
But
I'm
you're
like,
not.
I'm like the—I'm like the what's his name? The work fart.
In your heart of hearts, you're just not.
Okay, well, we'll see.
You can try harder.
All right, hold on.
We're holding. Sorry, listeners. Come on, we're calling the guy up. It's going to be like candy.
How many listeners do you think we have today, Michael?
I haven't got a clue, but the couch is full.
You know, it would be fun if people would email us to let us know that they tuned in.
Okay, recruiting_animal@hotmail.com.
Okay, that's good. Write in and let us know that you listened. And
Donato, are you there?
Harry is calling Donato.
Hold on just 1 second. I'm going to see if I can put you on the speaker. Hang on. I hope I don't lose you. Hang on.
Yeah.
Damn. All right, Donato, you know, there's like 5 of us on the show here, and we're all very busy. So let me give you the number.
Harry doesn't.
Because you don't want to keep 5 people waiting.
Somebody's got to get off. Who's the least interesting person on the show right now?
Who's the least interesting person? Hang on, Donato.
I'll go.
I'll get off the phone.
Who? Okay. Sorry, JD. Thank you.
No problem. Bye.
You're falling on the sword. Thank you, JD.
Okay.
Don't anyone else call in except Donnie.
Damn.
This is
Donato, don't
getting
hang
to
up.
Be a problem.
Pardon me?
This is getting to be a problem.
Is it? It's never been a problem. I got good questions.
You're getting popular, Michael.
Yeah, you can ask him these questions. I'll ask you the questions, I mean. First question.
I can answer his questions.
Yes, Donnie, how are you?
Fine, Michael. How are you?
Great, great, Don. Listen, I'd like people to get to know you.
Got it. Hold on. Hey, I should just ask you, Michael, what's your phone number? I'll dictate it to Donato.
The phone number for the show?
Yeah, what is it?
Okay, just let me give it to you. I don't have it right in front of me here.
It Donato, can you hear me?
646.
Okay, write this down. Here's the number, Donato. It's 646.
652.
652.
2754. And we're saving a place.
2754.
J.D. fell on his sword for Donnie. And I put a, you know, I fixed up
Michael, you need a producer. Can you hear me, Donato?
I can hear you.
All right, can you get kids on the show hear me? Can you hear Donato?
Yes, I can hear him.
All right, so I got my cell phone pressed up to the...
I'll call back into the number. I was talking. I can hear everybody. Nobody can hear me. So I'll call back in.
I can hear you, but it's going to cost Harry an arm and a leg if he stays on the cell phone for an hour.
Oh, yeah, actually, that's true. Okay, so Donato's going to hang up and call back, okay?
Yeah, okay. Should we talk about him behind his back?
Yeah.
or Harry, one, Harry Joyner's a regular. He's got a new office. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you very much.
Anything you'd like to tell us that you've learned about, you know, changing offices, et cetera?
No, it's like something out of a Dilbert cartoon. I'm like one guy surrounded by eight cubicles. I bought, you know, eight cubicles, and I got a bunch of phones, and I bought some computers. And
I think he's here.
Hey, this is Nato.
Hi.
Technical difficulties. Technical difficulties. I called in. I was listening to all you guys talk. I listened to the intro. And I'm saying, I'm here. I felt like the guy in the movie with that's the ghost that can't get people's attention.
I have to log you on. You're not going to be logged on until I log you on. First, I do my intro. It's my show.
You got control.
Intro, then you come on. You're the guest after. But now you're on. So
be careful, Donnie.
I asked some of your questions already. Well, he's got me mad, okay?
Settle down, Michael.
You embarrassed me in front of my guests, but I know Maureen's your friend, and I have a question about that. So, Don, let's go. Okay.
Right. And let's start right from the start. It's Donato, not Don or Donnie. So let's go with Donato.
Are you sure about
Donato.
That? Okay, Donato.
Michael, you started that.
Okay, I would like to ask you a few warm-up questions so people get to know you before we start. Okay.
Absolutely.
Right. Do you like French fries?
Yes.
With ketchup or without?
Without.
Okay. What about scrambled eggs? Do you use any condiments on your scrambled eggs?
Yes, hot sauce.
Hot sauce. Is that the same as chili sauce?
Chili sauce, chili, you know, a little habanero, anything that's really hot and spicy.
Okay, okay. Now, there's a logic to this. You guys must have heard of the book Freakonomics, right?
Freakonomics, yes, yes.
These are freak of questions, okay? You can find out some very profound things by looking on the edges of reality. So just a few more, okay? Do you know the song Pressure Drop by Toots and the Maytals?
I do not.
Oh, okay. Well, I thought maybe you would tell me what a Maytal was. Now we're going to move on to the real questions, but one more of these, okay? Maureen Shareeb arranged for you to be on this show. Is that right?
I believe she made the connection, and I am thankful for it.
Yeah, she did. She's a nice girl, isn't she? Do you like her?
Yes.
Well, stop.
I like her, too, but I don't always agree with her, Donnie, Donato, and I'm not always going to agree with you. Doesn't mean I'm not your pal, but on this show, anything goes. Those are the ground rules for the conversation. Is that okay?
Sure thing.
You don't have to agree with me either. Now, I have a lot of questions for you, but I'm going to put this one to you first. What is the most controversial thing in your business? If we wanted to make a lot of sorcerers mad, right now, what will we say?
Using data irresponsibly. Using any tool, whether it's us or somebody else, and not following good ethical practices. Spamming people. Our technology has been used for that purpose in the past, and we have cut people off for it. People want to take the easy route, but there is no easy route in the recruiting process. There's certain steps you have to go through, and I was a recruiter. I'm going to be an advocate of good recruiting process.
You were a recruiter?
Yes.
For how long?
I was a recruiter for 8 years.
Mm-hmm. What kind of people did you work with?
I worked with mostly IT people in the mid-90s. I was at management recruiters.
Uh-huh.
It was great training. I left, founded my own firm, did IT and biotechnology.
Yep.
So that's where originally technology came from, was from inside my recruiting firm. There was challenges that we could not do, which was diving into university sites and finding people that were thousands and thousands of pages deep. Back in the day, in the late 90s, the search engines did not go as deep as they go now.
Mm-hmm.
They still don't go fully. So I built my tools to put in each individual's hand the ability to have a search engine on their desktop to go directed where they want to go. That's where it came from. I was looking for computational modelers, guys that were half chemist, half computer scientist, and the only place to find them, because it was so new, was deep in the university websites.
Okay. Now, are you a techie yourself? Did you hire someone and say, this is what I need, and guide that person as they did the technical work for you, or do you do the technical work yourself as well?
I don't do the coding level. I do the architecture level, which would be the standard business process architecture, which systems should interact, how they should interact. My background before I was a recruiter was I was a software engineer and then lead technical architect on different products and processes and working on efficiencies. I'm a process guy. I'm a process guy when it comes to technology. Recruiting gave me, I would say, the business skills to bring it all together and eventually start Broadly.
Okay, now the thing is, these techie people like yourself and like the people you were recruiting, they're the guys who are really available on the net. Am I right? Because we've got Maureen Sharif here. As you know, she is the queen bee of telephone sourcing. And in my experience as well, unless you do telephone sourcing, you can't get a lot of the candidates. But I suspect it's way different for IT people because they seem to populate the net way more than, let's say, I always use auditors for an example.
Well, as far as IT people, you're not going to have the sitting out in front name, title, email, phone number that you're going to have on for a sales guy on a contact us page for a software sales guy for a company.
Yep.
Where you're going to find those guys is the news groups and the blogs and white papers and engineering things and patents and things like that. Now, I don't know what percentage, and I'd like to know if anybody does know what percentage of people are actually on the net in some capacity. But it may be somewhere around 10% if you look at a professional capacity. So if you can get to that 10% of people as points of entry,
mm-hmm.
you can get to anybody. And that's what Maureen is great at, is give her a point of entry. It could be the wrong title, but if it's the right organization, it's the right facility, it's the right location, she's going to name source and get those people. Our tools are not for the lazy recruiter. We don't want them as clients.
Okay.
Somebody,
in fact, a telephone sourcer could benefit from a product like yours as well.
Absolutely.
Maureen,
absolutely.
Can you come back on that?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, absolutely. You got a comeback, or absolutely you agree with them?
Absolutely, I agree with them. It gives you a toehold.
Okay.
You know, if you have one name, just one name, you know, you can use that name to. They
okay.
call it trampolining in the industry.
Trampoline.
I call it going
right.
from pillar to post.
That's what, Peter Lefkowitz calls it too. Does anyone else want to comment? Chat with Donato before I move on to some other questions? No. Okay, so I had some people, some pros. One of them asked me to tell you he was involved. Russell Moon, the AVP, Assistant Vice President of the Strategic Research Team. Is it Wachovia? Is that how you say that? Wachovia Corporation?
Wachovia.
Okay, he's the AVP Strategic Research Team at Wachovia. Russell Moon. But first I'm going to ask some other questions and leave his for later. One person told me everything from them except contact capture is expensive, but they're powerful if you know how to use them. Eclipse, one of your products, is invaluable for the kind of work I do, but I'm not as skilled with Market Mapper and Profiler yet. They probably would be useful also. I just need some time to invest. I'm going to read a little more. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
A BroadLook user. Okay, that's something else. Blah, blah, blah. All their expensive products have a big learning curve. So for the average sourcer or recruiter, that could be a near insurmountable initial barrier. So this guy's talking about two things. On the one hand, he said it's expensive, but that's another issue. But he said it's hard to learn. Is that true or false?
I think that there's many shades of gray. If yes, there is an investment to use our technology. Both on the monetary side.
So you know what? Actually, before we go there, so essentially I looked at the demos on your site, broadlook.com.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody should go there and take a look at them. And Eclipse will go into a website, take out all the names and titles and phone numbers, and dump them into an Excel spreadsheet.
That is half correct. Excel is, or I'm sorry, Eclipse is meant to mine information that is structured, that obeys some structured format. So what we've estimated, there's over a million lists out on the Internet. For example, there's 6,000 chambers of commerce. Almost every chamber of commerce in the U.S. has a member directory that their mission is to promote its members. You've got trade shows, over 100,000 trade shows with member directories. You've got online databases. You've got subscription databases. All these obey a structured format. It doesn't matter if it's, for example, we had a somebody use it for a Mayo Clinic type research study, and one of the fields that it pulled out was number of monkeys in the experiment. So it doesn't matter what data is there, as long as it's structured where it's like a list, and then it's a series of links, and each link goes to a page below it. Eclipse makes capturing that information nearly automatic. So it's not just about name, title, email, phone number.
Okay, so let's review your other two major products at the same time, just to show how they're different. You've got the Profiler. What does that do?
Profiler is meant for the small to mid-market companies, meaning everything except a Microsoft website or a Google website, which is a portal. So let's say you have 100 companies that are small CPA firms, and you need a point of contact. You're a Marine. You're doing your job. You need points of contact at these 100 firms that you've identified. Profiler would take those 100 firms, go into that company's website as a central portal, as step one. Learn from that site by getting points of contact, run Google searches, run MSN searches, run live searches. Look at Usenet. Look at SEC filings if they're a public company. Take all the information, aggregate it together, and give you the ability to dump that data into over 100 different CRM packages. Everything from Salesforce and NetSuite on the CRM side to many small applicant tracking providers up to large applicant tracking providers.
This aggregates information from the Internet into one spot. Is that essentially?
That is correct, because if you're spending time going out to a website, looking at news groups, doing Google searches and queries and things like that, I mean, we can bring that down to the press of a button. Profiler is an actual easy tool to get the 101, to press a button, get some results, and use it. It is a difficult tool to master. So there is a continuum there. Profiler will also pull out backlinks. Every company that's linked back to a target company, because you may not find, Maureen's probably come across many situations where she's trying to get a sales rep and she's tapped out. She's talked to every person in the organization and no one is going anywhere. What's the next sphere of influence in recruiting? You would move out to the next concentric circle, which would be the resellers selling that same product line. How do you find those resellers? Well, there's going to be links back to those companies. So it is not a database. Anybody that buys our technology and is expecting a database is going to be disappointed. It is a sourcing tool that is going to be directed by the person and the skills of the person that's running it.
So are there larger recruiting firms that get one person specifically to become an expert in your stuff? And
that is a very common model. And the nice thing about it is when those people leave, they usually, first thing they do is they call us up. Of course, to bring it to the new organization. We've had some people in the Fortune 1000 who have been to three organizations in 3 years, and that's brought us along. We've not been a vocal company on marketing.
Mm-hmm.
We have been mostly word of mouth referral,
uh-huh.
which is a very grassroots growth path that we've had in the last 3 years.
Okay, so the last product right now, or the one we're going to discuss immediately, is Market Mapper. Am I right about that?
Market Mapper. Market Mapper is we're just about to come up with version 2, which we're excited about, by the way. But Market Mapper takes the idea of, okay, somebody comes to you and they say, I need a vice president of professional services from a company that writes government grants as a service. Guess what? SIC codes and every recruiter out there that's used to using them on databases, you're SOL. There is no SIC code for government grant writing companies. So where does that leave you? People go to a Google query. They go to a Google search. They type in GSA schedule services, and they get 12,000 results of everything from companies to white papers to contacts to sites on government. So what that points out is that Google is fantastic at finding keywords. It's awful at finding a list of companies.
Mm-hmm.
Market Mapper takes those tens of thousands of search results from the search engines, from a simple search string you put in, and then limits it down by one simple concept. How does that company describe itself?
On its own website.
On its own website, their own linguistics of how they talk about themselves.
So a government agency will say government agency on its site somewhere? Those keywords will be effective?
Well, that is how you describe it. Once you start working with Market Mapper, and this is definitely the expert tool, this is maybe, you know, 1 in 5 of our clients uses Market Mapper.
Uh-huh.
You don't look at government agency. You look at specializing in bringing government programs to the inner city. That would be a self-descriptive phrase. And you key on those versus how the outside describes something, which would be SIC code, you know, the layman, versus how that company describes itself. The Market Mapper is a discovery process in how to identify how a sector describes itself and then to build a list of those companies. Once you have a list of companies, you can then, of course, start your recruiting.
So let's pop back to the original question, which you touched upon. You said you're not after the lazy recruiter or sourcer. You're after someone who's, you know, willing to put the time in to master these tools. Now, do you have to be a genius to master them, or just
no? Not at all. Not at all.
If you can,
we sell the technology as a suite.
Mm-hmm.
So we are we've learned a lesson. In the past we've sold some stuff to people and they're like, I don't know how to use this. And what we're doing is we're learning from that. We're making the products easier. We just came out with Diver, which anybody could use.
Okay, tell us about that. Tell us about the Diver.
Well, just came back from SourceCon, and a lot of excitement from the sourcers at SourceCon. Simple concept: have you ever sat at a search engine? You did a query, and all these things that guys like Jim Stroud and Russ and Shally talk about, all those search strings, they're the experts in that area, and it's great stuff. But what happens after the search in Google? You get a list of 100 results, and then you're back to the grind. Click and browse and click and browse and click and, oh, let me press Control F to find where on that page that person's name was mentioned so I can cut them, paste them into a spreadsheet or maybe my applicant tracking system. That's a grind. That no human should have to do that. So what Diver does is simply takes every link from your search and dives into it, pulls back the contact information, and puts it into a nice little grid. So to go through 1,000 Google results, I can do that in 2 or 3 minutes. How long would it take someone to do that manually clicking on links? They give up after the first 10.
Let me ask my guest, does anyone really get that? I understand what you're saying in general, but I'm having trouble thinking about it in terms of a practical search. So I'm going to ask you for, you know, an example. But first, anybody there understand really the value of that? No?
I can answer that.
Go ahead.
What Donato is describing is really labor-intensive, and if it pulls that labor-intensive out of the process, it's a huge, huge time saving. He's talking about copying and pasting results into a research document and going back to Google and blah, blah, blah. And it's excruciatingly
okay, time
consuming.
So what do you end up – Donato, give us an example for that one.
Okay. You want to – you're 3 minutes away from knowing you've got to call into a company and find a couple points of contact. Let's say it's an aerospace company or any type of company. You type in the company's name into Google with the word sales next to it, and
yep.
You hit enter, and you get 600 results.
Right.
What are you really looking for? You're looking for a point of contact. So from those 600 results, Diver would follow each Google link, go to that page, pull off every point of contact, names with emails, with phone numbers, bring that back into a grid. So the end result in a few seconds is you have a list of contacts that you can say, just show me people with names and phone numbers. And you've got points of...
How's that different from Eclipse?
Eclipse is more for an existing list, like a Chamber of Commerce directory,
okay,
a trade show directory.
From one website, not from Google, not from a Google search, is that
yes,
right?
Yes, Diver was made specifically. If you can use a search engine, you don't need any training. You can sit down, do your search, and go, ah, I get it.
Okay.
It is the product for the masses of the recruiters out there.
The masses, okay. Now, you're a techie, right? How come you're so talkative? Aren't you supposed to be shy and retiring?
Well,
autistic?
When I first got the phone at MRI, I think they had like a 30-minute time frame that if you didn't pick up that phone with your yellow pages and your list to start making calls within 30 minutes, they escorted you out. Sorry, kid, it's not gonna. And I think I made it to about 29 minutes. So I was very fortunate to have a good manager who believed in me, who said, okay, I can take this techie. Talk to this guy for me. Talk to this CIO. He was my people. So I was lucky enough, and I would advise any recruiter any person that thinks about going to recruiting, make it your second career. If you were an aerospace engineer, recruit aerospace engineers. If you were a software engineer, recruit software engineers. If you're an insurance guy, recruit insurance guys. That's what helped me. And you know, it turned out I was a people person all along.
Okay, and the reason, this is a very interesting question you just touched upon, sorry, I won't go into it too long. We're focusing on the technology today. But the reason is, if you have a career in an industry, then when you're a recruiter, you can really talk the talk and assess people well. Are those the two?
I think so. It builds credibility. I mean, nobody likes coming in as a technology recruiter, and you start talking about Java or SAP, and you use it wrong, and you lose rapport. Yes, if you're focusing on the technology only, you can ruin opportunities when you get that person. I mean, my first placement that gave me the idea for Broadlook was almost called Lemongrass, and the story went like this. I was just off on my own. I had just started my own firm, and I needed an Oracle DBA that was also a chemist, a PhD in chemistry, and it was tough. And I finally found the guy. He would not take my calls. He wouldn't talk to me. I called him, hey, this is Donato, blah, 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 boom, click. So I found him on a Usenet group, and he was an amateur chef, and I love to cook.
Mm-hmm.
So he had posted about how to find lemongrass in Marin County for a Thai food soup recipe.
Yeah.
Called him, I said, Dave, I heard you're the guy to find lemongrass in Marin County. Blah, blah, blah. Boom, instant rapport. We talked for half an hour, and I finally lowered the boom on him. Hey, I'm a recruiter. Glad I found you. Really cool recipe. Gave him one, and we built the rapport. That's when the light bulb went on for me. I want to have some rapport-building information before I make the call. That was the inspiration to build the tools to leverage the internet data to make recruiting
okay,
better.
Okay, that's quite a story. I wonder how unique it is. I mean, that's got to be a rare experience. But I'm going to move on. Okay, that was a good story. Is Susanna on the line by any chance, Harry?
I don't know if she is.
I can mention her name?
Sure.
Okay. Harry's got a sister. He works with her. She's a very charming young woman. Her name's Susanna Boyd, and she had a question about Profiler. Harry, do you want to tell it, or should I read it?
Why don't you read it?
Okay. You ready, Donato?
Sure.
Okay. How is Profiler... Let me see. She wants to know, sorry, I made these notes and I didn't rewrite them. How would Profiler best be leveraged? She says it does, according to her, you gave us an explanation, but it does a breakdown of a website, so it'll put out a list of who works for that company. She really doesn't understand. I'm sorry, I'm going to mention some other products. You can tell me if you want to talk. She doesn't understand how Profiler is any better than Zoom or I can't remember what other products she mentioned. Harry, do you recall?
Well, you know, just other products where the contact information is already in there. So Zoom is a good example. Full disclosure, we own all of the Broadlook products. We own them all. There's nothing that Broadlook makes that we don't own. And Susanna, who does my sourcing, loves Broadlook. But we also did a deal with Zoom last year, and, you know, we've used Spoke and Jigsaw and some other tools. And in some of the other tools, the contact information is already aggregated there. With Profiler, it's aggregated by Broadlook, and sometimes the information is inaccurate through no fault of Broadlook's. So I'll give you an example. If somebody were to throw my website, marketingheadhunter.com, into Profiler to extract all the names, addresses, and phone numbers off of there, or names, email addresses, and phone numbers, they would get, like, Seth Godin's name, because he's an author and I've blogged about him. Or they would get, George Bush's name because I've blogged about George Bush before. You follow me? So Broadlook extracts very effectively everything that's on the website. Sometimes what's on the website isn't germane to the inquiry, so you just have to be a little knowledgeable about that. And what Susanna, I think, was asking yesterday was, like, if this information is already aggregated by ZoomInfo, why use Profiler?
Perfect. Couple layers. Number one, ZoomInfo, which they do have great technology, is a database. It is a closed system. So where Profiler, the advantages of a Zoom would be speed of information if they happen to have the information aggregated. On the other side, and I'm trying to be as equal as I can here, of course I got a bias. On the other side, with Profiler, you have access to any company in the world that has a website. So if there is a company that's not on Zoom's radar, you have no option. So Profiler is not something that we aggregate. We've created a technology that goes out and directly spiders from your machine at the point of start to go out and find every point of contact associated with a company, a domain, a website, an email. Now, the Seth Godin example, great example. If there's a name on a site, we're going to find the name first. We do what we call name-centric capture of information. We find the name first, and we try to build a story on that name. Does he have an email that matches the domain we're searching? Yes, let's score it higher. Is it a famous name like Rudyard Kipling? Yes, score it lower. So something you'll see, if you ever see a picture of the Profiler, one of the things is there is a grid, and every contact has a score on over, I think it's like 700 different criteria points, which is, you know, how cross-referenceable is the data? What are the dates on the pages of where the data came from? All these things are ways for the person running the software to say, oh, Seth Godin, context, frequent speaker of. Okay, I can skip that. So we're not sticking stuff open like it might have sounded like a database of here's a name and here's a title and we think they're at this company. We're saying here's a name, here's the title associated with it, and here's the context in which we found it.
So no one's
going to
call a marketing headhunter and ask for Seth, right?
Exactly. So yes. George, you know how many George Bushes are out there? I think we've had development meetings where we're throwing stuff at each other, whether we should throw it out or keep it in. And you have to keep it in because there's going to be a guy out there named George Bush who's a marketing guy at some company. Who knows? But you can't exclude it out. I think Zoom has access to several million companies. With our tool, you can point at 14 million targets.
I'm going to interrupt for a sec. Susanna is actually trying to get on. I know we got a full couch. There's a lot of people who aren't asking any questions. Would anyone care to click off
and make our all drop?
Okay, you can listen to the show at the bottom of recruitinganimalshow.com. At the bottom of the screen, there's a button, and you can
press
that and listen. Okay? So, Susanna, you can call in, and she'll get to ask you the question if Harry hasn't done a good job on it already. Thank you very much. Whoever said he was bowing out. Okay. Harry, is your question answered? I know her question was different, quite frankly. But it is.
I mean, we love Broadlook, and we find it's like Broadlook is you can liken these tools to golf clubs or something. Broadlook is a driver, you know, and ZoomInfo is the 9-iron, and they're both invaluable for what they do. But the reality is that there are 36 million records in ZoomInfo, and we find a lot of value in using ZoomInfo for top-level executives, but there are 8.5 million small businesses, for example, in the United States. There are, I'm going to take a stab at it here, but probably between 1 and 2 million companies out there that are over 100 people. And there's just no way that ZoomInfo is going to have all of that information. Broadlook uses metadata and self-descriptors to access that information and to aggregate it. Broadlook's invaluable.
I don't understand that stuff, but I think, is Susanna area code 770?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, Susanna Boyd, you can talk to Donato.
Hey, are you there?
Hey, Susanna, hi.
Hey, look, I didn't even realize I was going to get on like that. I thought I was just listening.
Yeah,
you an email going, I can't get on still.
Okay, you're on.
Okay, here is my question for you, because this is actually my biggest issue with Profiler and the reason that I don't use this particular product. I think Eclipse is brilliant. And Michael heard me say for a long time, I love that product. It's very easily put into operation, and I know how to leverage that. But with Profiler, for instance, we're very specific to e-commerce marketing. That's the kind of headhunting that we do. And that involves surfing retail sites. Profiler is not able to break down a site like that. I'll get hundreds of contacts like Angora Sweater, where it doesn't say that this is a speaker. I mean, it's obviously not a contact. But I'm still going through the same process I would have to if I did a Google search string. I still have to hunt and peck and fish around because so many of what I need is drowned out in irrelevant information. Does
Understood.
That make sense?
Yep, yep. The you should actually enter the contest we had for the absolute silliest name that Profiler pulls back. The all-time winner was Mr. Gear Sprockets from a manufacturing company. But what you're describing is a side effect of the type. You mentioned retail, and that was a very crucial thing. The Profiler is not going to do well on a retail site. A retail site likens itself to a portal. And a portal is typically, Angora Sweater. We've got, you wouldn't use on L.L. Bean, for example. I love L.L. Bean stuff. You would use it on the corporate site. So part of the thing would be understanding the type of site that you're scanning.
Absolutely.
So, for example, Gap.com is not going to work. But doing a little fishing around, running Gap.com and Profiler, you'll look inside the backlinks and find out, oh, Gap Inc. is their corporate site. That is different.
But you often don't find them there. Or they'll be buried in a way Profiler can't get into it. You have a really brilliant guy named Brian Galovitz who works in your tech support. I love him. He's fabulous. Takes my calls any time of day, held my hand for the learning curve. And he was trying to lead me through that, but a lot of times it won't show up in your link. You'll have to type in trial and error, / corporate to see if it will find that window for you.
Yeah, I think we're talking apples and oranges right now. You're actually talking about a sub, not to get techy on everybody, but you're talking about a subdomain within a retail domain. I'm saying that many of these companies have totally different websites for their corporate presence. If they do, yes, you can leverage it, and you'll be able to leverage it a lot more successfully. If they don't, then yes, by the nature of the technology, you're going to get pretty much what you're getting right now on a retail type site. That is definitely a known factor. Now, what I would say is that bringing out a tool like Diver does solve that. So we are trying to basically position ourselves as the Microsoft Office of Internet Research. Profiler may not be a fit for you, but you said Eclipse is brilliant.
It is brilliant, but Microsoft gears its products for the lazy person, and
right.
You're not doing that. You're aiming at people who are willing to sit down and put forth a significant learning curve. Harry could never fire me now because he'll never have the time to sit down and figure out how to use
That's
this.
That's the reason his mother would be on his back. That's why. Go ahead. You're tough. I like it.
As any technology company, we have 1.0, 2.0, 3.0, and coming up 4.0 releases. We want to hear feedback like that. There are some things it's just not going to be able to do because of the nature of the technology. That's why we did add, like I said, a tool like Diver, which will do very well on those type of sites.
Well, then I think you should throw Diver in free for me. Because I bought Profiler, which doesn't fit my market, and you knew my market before you sold me the suite.
It's been out for 5 weeks, and tell you what, you call Brian, you got it.
Okay, I'll do it.
Not to be under pressure.
Now, the Hoover's question, what about that, Susanna?
Well, let's not use Hoover's as an example because I've actually never been on Hoover's. I just got my login today.
Okay.
My question was, why would, and this goes back to Profiler too, it seems a lot easier for me to use a tool like Zoom, which is a database, but it's a constantly updating database where I can go in and write in GAP, and it will pull for me the list of employees, and by a click of a button, I also get to see a list of competitors broken down by employee. It's a much easier way for me to get to information where with Profiler, I would spend hours to get to the same end result.
Well,
and I don't think of that
as
laziness. I think of that as better use of my time.
Right. I would say for the example you said to first identify companies, I would question the value of the cross-section if you get from competitors. Finding a list of companies is not Profiler's job. That would be Market Mapper. That would be going out and building a list of the target companies within a niche market. The example of being able to pull out information from the database. I mean, if it's there, I mean, go and type, and you can all try this. It's a fun thing to do. But type in I think it's Donald Duck into Zoom, and you get that as a match. And I think one of the things is Donald Duck apprentice. The other one's Donald Duck, damn nice guy. So I mean, the information is there in the same way that Profiler is, but both the tools are spiders. They are a spider that aggregates into a database. We're a tool that aggregates into a central source.
Let me ask a question here. It sounds like, as you said, you offer a suite, and it helps if you have the full suite, like they do, that you know which tool to use, first of all, for which application or what purpose you're doing it, but also realize that certain sites are not sensitive or to the tool or really screw it up. Is that fair?
That is very fair, and I think that's one of the key things is understanding that's part of the we're half a technology company, we're half a training company, professional services, getting people up to speed, going on site to major sourcing outfits in the Fortune 1000 to teach them best practices, and many times that includes ZoomInfo or Hoover's or InfoUSA. We are a not 100% solution. Nobody is, but we are a unique solution that fills in stuff and automates things that
How
nobody else does.
How long have you been in business, Donato?
We sold our first license in November of 2002.
Mm-hmm. And so that's quite a while ago already.
Yes.
And do people usually buy a full suite like Harry and Susanna did, or do they cherry pick them?
Well, today they're buying the full suite. When we first started selling, this is probably one of the biggest disservices that stronger marketing from competitors has done to us, is they talk about, they don't talk about Profiler or Eclipse or Market Mapper. They say BroadLook. When we first came out, we only had Profiler. It was a single product, single function. So it's very simple and, of course, very smart for competition out there to say BroadLook does this and to pigeonhole us into a very small area. So now, yes, we are marketing and selling the suite as a complete package. We even have a job posting aggregator. So instead of going out to a site like Indeed, you can press one button and data silo your own job postings over a course of 6-9 months a year to find out about your industry, the e-commerce. If you had every job posting in Chicago for e-commerce, a particular skill set for a year, you could then go back to that a year later and you have your own data silo of target companies to go after. Biggest problem I see in the recruiting today, which I'd like to see solved, is reactionary recruiting versus long-term planning. People who are building desks, who are doing a good job figuring out how do I build a sustainable process to be an expert in a particular area. Harry's done a great job of that. Target sites, blogs, everything going through a central point. That's smart.
Okay, Susanna, you're back on.
Okay.
Go ahead. Continue. I just wanted to interrupt you for a second there.
No, you didn't. I was. I'm listening. I don't have any more questions.
You don't have any more questions?
Well, I might. You might bring one to my attention, and I'll pipe back
in. I'm gonna continue with the questions from my email friends. Let me see. BroadLook is apparently. Well, apparently some of the users want to start a user group where the heavy hitters meet virtually and then once a year in person. And this fellow wanted to know, Donato, how you are supporting that and if you are supporting it.
I can't believe the gentleman who started up the recruiting blogs, but great thing. We created our own Ning group.
Jason Davis?
Yes.
He's on. He's listening right now.
Well, great idea. I was like, wow, what a great opportunity. So we created Broadbook Users on Ning. It's just getting started. We didn't want to tailor it to just the power users. We wanted to be – a lot of debate went on. But, I mean, I think that the power users will identify themselves, share themselves. We're working on doing an annual conference next year to bring the people in and, you know, bring –
Would you be putting that together with SourceCon, maybe the day before or day after?
That's a fabulous idea. I mean, SourceCon, I've never seen such a strong contingent of people who are perfect – for what Broadbook does. I mean, we're getting pounded with inquiries at this point.
Okay, so I'm going to move on to some other questions. This one's from Russ. Given there are no limitations created by technology, where do you see the next big breakthrough in tools for the researcher occurring?
Wow, I think collaboration. Collaboration is, when I talk to I'll pick a big four. I won't mention them. I picked up to a big four firm, and the issues they're having, they're data siloing and doing information, duplicating efforts across different areas. Why? Why is that? There's a lot of symptoms, but I think the number one reason is not enough collaboration. Some of the major applicant tracking systems that are going out to corporations do a great job of tracking people that are already applicants, but do a horrific job of tracking sourced people, of data siloing their own information. So, if collaboration can improve, then organizations are going to get much, much more efficient. Probably not an area that Broadbook will have a solution for. We may have a solution in the normalization of information. So, if people have data from 12 different sources, we could basically match it up, figuring out which is duplications, which is a new record, things like that. So then when they do have the central repository, they can make the best use of it without wasting.
So that goes back to you being a process guy. You're cleaning
yes.
up that process.
Cleaning
Jason
up the process.
Davis, who fell on his sword. He was on the show, and he got off, so you'd have a line to call in on. Just send me a message. He wants to call you. Later, this is a guy from Ning. He doesn't work for Ning, but he set up the network, the first recruiting network on Ning, and he wants to call you later today. What time is a good time?
So I have to now look at my awful CRM, and here's a great process thing. Click on my calendar, and I am available after 4 p.m. Central Time.
Okay, so he's got that question. Another one from, if anybody else wants to chime in, I'm just going to run through my questions for the next 10 minutes is what we have left. Let me see, Broadbook. The driver was talked about already. He says, Russ says, I have heard about software that captures lists of information, but during my last show, the researchers were not all sure that type of technology exists, does it? That's Eclipse, right?
That is Eclipse, yes.
Okay. That sounds like a softball question. He's your pal, right?
Russ has been an advocate of us, and
is he the number one super user? No, you don't have to answer that. You don't want to cause dissension.
he is a power user, and there's a bunch of them out there. There's a lot of people out there that Russ is vocal, and he lets himself be heard by people. There's a lot of people out there that don't have the people skills that can do wonders. The SourceCon winner, Mike Nataro,
yep.
A brilliant young man. He won a copy of Diver, so he's looking at putting together a little study for us that shows the SourceCon challenge and what he did to win. He could have basically quintupled his productivity using our technology in the same exact challenge.
This guy wins a lot of contests. I'm not kidding.
He's a bright guy.
It's his third time, only 25 years old. Okay, he says, give me an example of a simple tool, then work your way up to the most sophisticated tool you guys have in your toy box. You've done that with your own tools for us today, or could you rank them?
Sure. Contact capture, easiest. If you can highlight somebody's contact information and press Control-CC on your keyboard, you can capture that and dump it into any of 100 different applicant tracking or CRMs. Diver would be next. If you can use a search engine, and do a search query, you know, site colon Gulfstream.com and sales rep. You can, if you've used Google, you can use Diver.
Okay.
The next tool would be probably two, NewsPulse and JobPulse. JobPulse is a job posting aggregator used for the marketing function.
Yeah.
NewsPulse is a news posting aggregator. If you can type a search, if you type a search string in and press a button, you can use it. Next would be Profiler. You got to know what a URL is. You got to know where to point it. You got to be able to press a button.
Sounds a little more than that, but again, you can use.
That's the entry level. That's entry level. Not talking about mastery of it. You know, there's always levels for anybody to master more. Next would be Eclipse, which is a list capture tool, and the last one would be the Market Mapper. That is the one that would that you got to sit through our training. You got to go through the consulting with us, and it's going to pay massive dividends once you come up to speed. It's a tool that a recruiter uses at the start of assignment. And no longer. Who is the universe of your target companies? And that would be the continuum. We've got a couple of things that will be coming out in the future, but that's what we got right now.
Okay, now Dave Mendoza sent me something as well. He's in Ohio. Couldn't call in. He's busy there. But he said he likes the ingenuity of having your demo uploaded on YouTube and on viral on his site, he said. You've got a demo on his site?
Yes. We put together. You know, we're just learning. We're learning the ropes there. How to get the name out there. So far, it's been pretty much the word of mouth referrals. So we're trying to give the people that are talking and blogging the information that they're craving from us in the format that makes best use for them.
Well, apparently, this was a user-generated idea from him. Is that correct?
Yes, it was.
Okay. There you go, Dave. And a few more from Russ, and then we'll start to. Wind it down. Let me see. Okay. Who's your company mascot? Something about that.
The company mascot is my 155-pound Newfoundland dog. Her name is Captain Catherine Janeway, and she is a frequenter in our office.
Okay.
We're Trekkies.
That's a big dog to take to your work. My
Donato.
A little dog named Rosie.
For those of you who are Voyager fans.
Donato?
Yes.
Hi, it's Harry. Friends, I got to go. I got a 1 p.m. call. I hate to duck off or cut in. Donato, it was a pleasure. And everybody else, it was a pleasure.
Dave
Manning,
I'm asking a question. Thank you, Harry.
I'll talk to you soon.
Michael, this is like one of your best shows.
Oh, it is. Okay. Wow. Okay. Well, I'm getting some questions from people on the let them ask their questions. Come on, you guys. They're sending it to me by Messenger. Actually, there's a new, what the tool that I'm using right now, Blog Talk Radio, has a chat function now where all of the listeners and the host, myself, could actually see each other asking questions on the same page. But I haven't mastered that myself. Okay.
That would be fabulous. I'd love to see that.
Okay, well, next show. You're welcome to come on again. Let me see. How do you recruit so many intelligent people? Boy, this guy's sucking up to you. He says, I have heard your staff is really sharp. What's your secret sauce? Do you have an answer?
I recruit everybody myself, personally.
Using your tools?
No. Why use a tool when you can reach out and talk to someone first? See, that's technology for the sake of technology doesn't make sense.
Uh-huh.
If I was looking for 60 sales reps, yes, I would use our technology.
Uh-huh.
If I'm looking for that one next guy, I'm going to use my referral network. I'm going to use what I learned, the humanistic side of recruiting, which will never be replaced.
Well, you actually got an endorsement on your people via Susanna, who's a tough cookie. And Susanna, I'll give you the last moment. If you've got some more questions, feel free.
Oh, goodness. I think you answered all my questions.
Okay.
I liked the way you ranked them. I do think Eclipse is probably your hardest one to learn, but I think it's the most.
You said Market Mapper is the hardest.
And I think Eclipse is the hardest to learn, but I think Eclipse has the most functionality. It's the one I could not live without. I use it all the time.
Okay. Well, I am not a user yet, so I couldn't ask the questions, but I got to tell you, you're a fantastic speaker. Very impressed by the way you handle yourself verbally. And that's it for now. Thanks very much for coming on. If you want to come on again, please feel free. And you gave us a little excitement at the beginning of the show as well. That never
happened. I, like I said, I felt like the ghost. I'm like, I'm here. I'm here.
You called in too late, and the couch was full, and I didn't know you were there. Susanna, the same thing happened to her. Okay. Thank you, everybody.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Thank you for the opportunity. Bye-bye.
Geico presents sharing versus oversharing. Today, Bridget Griffin shared a video of her daily yoga routine, two self-help articles, and her new blog called Build Your Inner Bridge with Bridge. Girl, your sharing has turned into oversharing. No worries, Bridge. Geico has some info worth sharing with your 7 blog followers, like how you could save money on your car insurance, update your policy, and report a claim just by visiting geico.com. How's that for building your inner bridge? Bridge, Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.